Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
It is Wednesday, November 13th, and this is episode 3 of Puck Culture. We're so excited to be joining you on this edition of the pod, the Grim Reaper, Stu Grimson, in the house.
Back again.
Friend, you were just commenting on my boots. These are all business boots.
Those boots are made for walking. Those are Nancy Sinatra boots. Those boots are made for walking.
Yeah, and I noticed you've got your biceps are covered for this week, so we don't have to worry about the gun show this week.
Yeah, I was kind of, nice. I had a right to bear arms last
did
week.
You?
And I've
did you?
Up,
did
I've
you have that arms. Right? I don't know.
I've covered up the arms this week, and I'm afraid to flex. Pop a seam in this favorite shirt of mine.
I think your right to bear arms is up for debate, but that's a topic for another day. You know, Stu, we work together a lot, right? 3 shows last week, 3 shows this
Jackie,
week. When you're in town,
Jackie.
I mean, we are basically inseparable.
Yeah, we're twinsies. We're on air all the time. We're on air all the time.
Well, what you've become
this,
now.
This week has been like last week, Monday to Wednesday, nonstop. All four Jackie, all Stu, all day long.
Yeah, 4 shows, 3 days. One thing we always talk about, usually in the makeup room, is your binge-watching tendencies. And you're always telling me about different shows that I should get into because I'm the type of person that never knows.
You feed my tendencies, though. You feed my
tendencies.
Well,
here's the thing. The reason I bring this up is I wanted to tell you because you know, I'm proud when I can bring you a show that you haven't already seen.
Right.
And I have an unhealthy obsession with the show, The Morning Show, which is on Apple TV Plus.
Yeah.
Jennifer Aniston, Reese Witherspoon, Steve Carell, Mark Duplass. I don't know how to say his name, but he's wonderful in everything that he does.
That's a heavyweight cast.
Billy
There's some strong actors in there.
Listen, I watched the first 5 minutes of episode 1, and I've been hooked ever since. I'm watching it on the treadmill. I'm reading reviews, like multiple reviews. I'm searching the show's name on Twitter to see what just random people are saying about it. It's taking over my life, actually.
Here's what I like about that. I think you can learn a lot about another person by their taste in streaming video and series that are out there. And I think that's an important connection between you and I. So you've really jumped onto a lot of the stuff that I've recommended to you, and we followed them together. So I'm happy to kind of take a tip from you, and you've really got my morning show. You've piqued
my
interest.
Some people might not like it, but I think the fact that you also, I mean, it's not the Today Show, but you know, at NHL Network, we work in television, we work in media, we kind of know behind the scenes, like the sort of things that go into a show and how crazy it can be sometimes. So they work that element in a little bit as well, which I like. The culture of
morning show
producing a television
has
show.
Got my interest. I got to tell you, though, I mean, it started out for me, you know, when several years ago when streaming video first got popular, I was kind of like, I've only got so much attention. I've only got so much time. I'm going to be a House of Cards guy. That's all I'm going to watch. And that's going to be my little corner of the world. That lasted about 4 months. I'm into just Jennifer and I just finished Game of Thrones over the course of the summer. Loved that. But, you know, Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul,
Handmaid's Tale, you talk about a lot.
Handmaid's Tale, she got me into that. I really, really enjoyed that. And I'll tell you what, something kind of under the radar that not a lot of folks, I don't think, are following, Get Shorty. Michael O'Dowd and Ray Romano are incredible together. Michael O'Dowd plays this kind of mobster dude, goes to Los Angeles to collect on a debt and gets kind of swept up into the movie industry, and it just gets really hilarious.
Okay, that's not one that I've seen or even heard people talk about it, so I think it is under the radar.
You'll fall in love with Michael O'Dowd.
Okay.
Irish actor, and the Irish accent just plays strong all
Well, everybody long. Already it's loves awesome. Raymond, right?
Oh, yeah, and he's great. He's like
Meg, one of our producers on the show, is just laughing off camera because my Everybody Loves Raymond reference just went way over your head. Did you ever watch that show?
It sailed right past me. Oh, yeah. A lot. And if you like Ray Romano, wait till you see him in Get Shorty. It'll take your respect level to a different place.
I'm trying to watch Succession right now. Is another one I'm trying to get into. I've heard a lot about it.
Yeah.
Haven't watched. It's about a family that owns like a media conglomerate, I think. But the kids are all trying to steal the company away from their father. I don't know. It sounds very dramatic. Right up my alley. Speaking of drama, though, we can't have this episode of Puck Culture without talking about the explosion of the hockey media culture in Canada. Coach's Corner, Hockey Night in Canada, never going to be the same again. Obviously, with the firing of Don Cherry, we don't need to get into what he did. We all know the story. But the way that Canadian hockey fans are going to consume their hockey on Saturday night is going to be very different for the first time in 34 years. This is a big deal.
It's crazy. It really is. I mean, set aside the wins and losses and the great stories, you know, kind of taking place on the ice outside of the game, but related to the game, is there a bigger story than Don Cherry?
There is no bigger story than Don Cherry this week.
Not this week, not this year, I don't believe. This is a really big story. It's interesting. But, you know, it kind of takes me back to 2011. I had a not that dissimilar run-in with Don Cherry. I was out of the game. I wasn't even a broadcaster at that point. He goes off on Hockey Night in Canada one night. And this is kind of back in the context of, remember, Bugard had passed away. There are a lot of, you know, ex-enforcer types that had kind of tragically lost their lives early in their lives. And there were some comments floating around out there. Don Cherry had an ex-player, George LaRocque, get in his ear and say, hey, did you know Stu Grimson, Chris Nyland, and Jim Thompson have taken this anti-fighting stance? And Don Cherry kind of took that, jumped on air, made a big splash the first show of 2011 on Hockey Night in Canada. Jackie, I quote verbatim, he called us pukes, hypocrites, and turncoats on national television, coast to coast.
Which word hurt the most? Pukes? Puke, I think if someone calls me a puke,
puke
I'm like,
nasty.
How dare you?
I've never been called a turncoat. I've been called a hypocrite. You know, from time to time, folks trip us up on stuff. But
listen, anyone that's ever been in a serious relationship has been called a hypocrite at one point or another. That's just life.
So I went off.
But yeah, pukes too far.
The three of us were PO'd about it. I mean, you know what? If you want to take a run at somebody, there's a right way and a wrong way to do it. But pukes, hypocrites, turncoats. So we kind of got organized. I helped us wage kind of a media campaign against Don Cherry. And believe it or not, fast forward to the conclusion, he walked it all back, every single word of it, full-throated apology, about a week and a half later on Hockey Night in Canada. We had to kind of rattle the legal saber a little bit to get it to happen. But he's never really ever done that. He doesn't apologize for anything he says. So my two kind of takeaway points are the following. And it really, I think, applies to this situation. One, Don tends to say stuff in a reckless way. He doesn't think it through. He doesn't vet it through. You know, you and I are in production meetings all the time where we kind of go over, well, in this topic, what are we going to say? And you bounce it off other people to get a sense of, how does that play? Does that make sense? So he goes off and he says things kind of half-cocked. And then number two, and I think this is true of Don now and certainly back where our situation was concerned, he speaks into areas that he probably is better to avoid. And that's when he gets himself in trouble.
Yeah, I will say, like, he's a guy that has, and this story has so many people divided and it's controversial and it's a conversation that's bigger than hockey. For sure.
It's kicked up a dust storm north of the border.
I will say, I think it's Don Cherry has made a career, has made himself basically a legendary figure in the Canadian, culture, not just hockey culture, just within Canada. And he has built that on being a guy that says what he thinks.
Yeah.
And says his opinion and gives his opinion. And I think the world has changed a lot in 34 years.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think that when you have built your status, your reputation on being the guy that says what he thinks and says it like it is, that's sort of the line you end up walking in 2019, yeah. where this is what you've been applauded for 30 plus years, for yeah. being the person that's not afraid to say what you think. So it's kind of a situation where, you know, times have changed, things have changed, and Don Cherry, you know, caught himself in a situation where I think what he was trying to say was a genuine thing,
yeah.
and a positive thing. He went about it absolutely the wrong way, offended yeah. a ton of people, and those people, you know, rightfully so, have spoken up. And I think it shows you that, you know, a lot of people in 2019 think they don't have a voice.
Right.
I think this whole situation and how it's played out has proven that you do have a voice.
It's really
and
kick-started.
You can voice your displeasure with something, mm-hmm. especially when it's offensive, and there
right.
can be action. But it's a crazy,
yeah.
it's been a crazy
and
couple
you know
days.
What? This kind of comes back to an important kind of civil lesson for all of us, just in terms of, because let's face it, with our phones now, everybody's a broadcaster. Everybody has something to say, and they have the platform to say it. But at the end of the day, I think the takeaway for all of us is, if you have an opinion, there's a civil way to say it. And I said this back when we were going through it with Don in 2011, and I maintain it today, and it shows up in all kinds of different places. If you got something to say, just give the other person the respect and the dignity. They've got an opinion too. You don't have to make it personal. You know,
yeah,
put your
no.
opinion across in a civil way. To me, though, north of the border, here's the thing that I think really becomes an interesting discussion. Now that Don Cherry is probably on his way out, you know, you've got a void, you've got a vacuum there. It probably won't be Coach's Corner going forward. This is kind of the segment on Hockey Night in Canada that takes place north of the border in Canada. But who steps in and who fills that kind of commentary? It's almost like an editorial on the game or current issues in the game. Who steps into that void? And there's some very interesting characters some names being thrown around out there.
Yeah, there really is. And I think that's the new discussion, right? Like, what happens to Hockey Night in Canada? What happens
right.
to Coach's Corner? How does Sportsnet move forward without Don Cherry? I do want to clarify really quickly, though, that just to be fair to both sides of what's happened here, is that, you know, Don Cherry has come out and said that he should have used different words. He should have
yeah.
said everybody. It was not his intention to single out you know, anybody, and just that all Canadians should wear poppy. So just to be fair to both sides, he has come out and said that. But obviously, you know, there are consequences to the words that you use on a
yeah.
national public stage. But
especially on that platform.
If you ask
yep.
if you ask betting sites, Brian Burke is the odds-on favorite to quote-unquote replace Don Cherry should Sportsnet move forward with this Coach's Corner first
yeah.
intermission type segment. What do you think of Brian Burke? Is
you know,
he the guy?
Well, here's the thing. I think even if you wanted to recreate something that's very similar to the feel, to maybe the content that takes place on a Coach's Corner where Cherry was concerned in the past, if you're trying to replicate that, Brian Burke to me is a great substitute, a great transition. You know, you and I have talked with Brian Burke. We have him on NHL Network from time to time. He's no nonsense. He's very opinionated.
Yep.
His points are sharp.
Which I think, you know, is important to have someone
yeah.
on that segment, whatever the segment becomes,
yeah.
that is not afraid to take a stand on hockey-related
yeah.
things.
Yeah.
And so within the context of the sport, you
yeah.
it's somebody that is willing to say things that are going to get people talking
hockey. I think Berkey's a slam dunk. I think he's a natural. And if it were put to a vote and I've got skin in the game, I'm able to vote, I think I'd be quick to cast my vote for a Brian Burke. Here's the one question, though, and I think this is kind of a sub-issue of who, you know, Brian Burke, and does he transition? Remember, Brian Burke's an American. Is Canada, Hockey Night in Canada, ready to have somebody that U.S. citizen? And I agree with you for this reason. Remember, yeah, Berkey's a U.S. citizen, but he's also been a fixture in Canadian hockey specifically. Managed the Canucks, managed the Maple Leafs, managed the Calgary Flames. And folks in Canada are accustomed to seeing that face and that untied tie around his neck.
He's already such a big figure in hockey. I don't really think that the fact that he's American would matter. But Hockey Night in Canada might be about to get very truculent.
Do you vote for him over Sean Avery? Would you cast a vote?
Oh my God! Don't even get me started. Sean Avery is
no consideration for Sean Avery at all.
I don't want to offend Sean Avery because, you know, I hope we can have him on this show one day. I hope we can have him on the show one day. I think it would be amazing. I think he's a very entertaining character within the game.
Yeah.
I don't know. He went on Twitter and said he would double the ratings in 3 minutes. I mean, this is a guy.
That's not inaccurate, though.
I don't know. I guess
it'd be a train wreck waiting to happen.
It would be interesting.
If you've never kind of viewed Sean Avery's rants from time to time, and he'll jump up every now and then and speak into the game. Go back through his Twitter account and just click on a few of the vignettes from Sean Avery.
He knows how to get people talking, that's for sure. He knows how to get under people's skin. So I have no doubt that Sean Avery in any television format would be intriguing, interesting, entertaining, and probably hilarious. So I'm sure he's got some sort of media future.
I hear Ray Ferraro. He's a great communicator, and two, has very strong opinions. They're very to the point. I think Ray is interesting consideration. I've heard people throwing around Kevin Bieksa's name.
Kevin Bieksa is very entertaining.
He is. He's good.
Very entertaining.
He knows how to play to the camera.
Here's my thing. I don't think that Hockey Night in Canada's first intermission segment should be anything remotely similar to Coach's Corner. I don't think it should be Ron McLean and one person that's opinionated doing a segment.
That.
To me, I think you get entertaining, opinionated people, and you come up with something new, something fresh, because no matter what you do in this situation, and this is the tough part for Sportsnet, is that no matter what happens, it is going to be heavily ridiculed and criticized, because that's what we do in 2019 on social media.
Yeah.
And you're following something that has been tradition in Canada for 30 plus years. Yeah. This is how people are used to consuming their hockey. So I think that they should switch it up, do something fresh, do something different.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to replicate something that I don't think you can replicate.
Yeah.
You're never going to get the Ron McLean, Don Cherry dynamic with two other people, I don't think.
I think it's possible.
I think it is possible?
Yes, I do.
I completely disagree.
I don't think, Ron McLean as a straight guy is something you could replicate quite easily again. For me, here's the way I think of it, Jackie. And you've spent enough time in Canada to know. Even for those casual hockey fans, when Hockey Night in Canada is on and we get to Coach's Corner time during the break, during the intermission, housewives will stop. Casual fans, young daughters and families will stop, and they'll turn to the television and they're curious to see what is the man in the loud jacket going to say? What is he going to do? That's Don Cherry. So I think for Sportsnet, for Hockey Night in Canada, as you're looking to, pivot from all that, to me, I think you kind of need to do something somewhat similar, or there's a void there. I think there's a void there. My point is, I think Coach's Corner draws even casual or folks that wouldn't consider themselves hockey fans.
But it drew people for 30 plus years, for better or worse, because of Don Cherry and Ron McLean. There's a reason sequels never work.
Yeah.
Or very rarely work.
It's because it's very hard to replicate.
Yeah. Although I will say, if I turn on Hockey Night in Canada on Saturday and it's your everyday, regular, four-man panel doing the same thing that every network everywhere in every sport does during the intermission or halftime or whatever it is,
then
that'll be disappointing, because it'll really feel like something special is now gone. So it's got to be something different.
I will say
that's
this,
what I think.
From a more, I wouldn't call it a political point of view, but it's somewhat different insofar as if Sportsnet did decide, hey, we're going to try and replicate Coach's Corner, Brian Burke is our guy, there is such a strong following, given his 3 decades plus on air. There's such a strong following. There could be backlash in there, and that's a hard seat for anybody to take. Even anybody is qualified, and I think is you know, as gifted as Brian Burke is in front of the camera, that'd be a hard position to slip into post Cherry.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Big time. I mean,
seat to fill.
We saw it when Sportsnet tried to use George Stephanopoulos on Hockey Night a few years ago now. Yeah. And I love Strombo. Strombo's a great dude.
He's
a friend of mine.
He's great.
He's great. But because of who he followed and who he, in the eyes of the public, replaced, he was in a very, very tough spot to succeed. Yeah. So I think it's a similar thing with Don Cherry. But I think if you bring Brian Burke, I think it could work. It's just about the setup, the dynamic. Is there maybe someone else involved? Is it more than two people? I don't know, but I'm sure this is a conversation that is being had between executives at Sportsnet all day, every day this week.
And have been
trying to figure it out.
I think have probably been ongoing even before Don Cherry makes his comments, and even before Don Cherry was dismissed. Those conversations have been going on for a good long while. The pivot from, you know, let's face it, he's well into his 80s. It's there will come a time that a change is necessary.
Well, I'll tell you what, no matter
where do you go,
whenever his
what's
run,
the direction post-Cherry?
Whenever his run was going to end, it was going to be a big deal in media, in Canadian sports media. But I mean, the fact that I'm reading this morning, there's going to be a rally outside of Sportsnet on Wednesday. This is how big this has become. It's a big story. I'm sure we'll be talking about it for a long time.
I feel bad for this reason. I mean, you know, of course, I've had my issues with him in the past. You know, I've made clear where I think he kind of steps in it from time to time. But for as prominent as he's been, as, you know, as much of a fixture as he's been to our game, there's been a lot of good, overwhelmingly good stuff. It's unfortunate that the exit has to look like this. That's the part that I hate, because it'll be an important part of his legacy, the way he ultimately walked off the set for the last time. That will unfortunately be a part of his legacy, and I feel bad for that, because he really is. I think at the end of the day, I do believe he's a well-intentioned guy. He just, you know,
he made a mistake. He was
many
wrong.
Mistakes.
I think he
many
knows
mistakes.
That. And you know, it is an unfortunate way for it to come to an end for Coach's Corner and Don Cherry.
End it shall.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll all have our TVs tuned into Hockey Night in Canada on Saturday to see what exactly is going to happen if it does not leak before Saturday, which, knowing the way it works these days, it probably will leak ahead of time. But we'll keep our eyes on that. Moving on to another hot topic. It's hard to go from that topic to anything else because it is the biggest story. But John Tavares is back at Nassau tonight with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Do you think Islanders fans are over his departure yet?
I think for the most part they are. And I'm encouraged to see that, too, because, you know, here's the thing. In the backdrop, and I really think I want to preface my comments about Isles fans as saying I think they're some of the best in our sport. Having played in Nassau Coliseum, it's electric, it's old, it's dark, it's a little bit dingy, and it brings out the best in hockey fans. They are raucous inside there. It's almost the equivalent of, you know, soccer overseas. British football. It's really remarkable how involved they get. So I'm a big fan of Isles fans. My only concern about Tavares coming back post free agent signing the first time was I thought it might get kind of nasty. I thought there was a potential for that. I think ultimately at the end of the day, for the most part, it was all done in good fun. And I think they've kind of had their say and they're glad to move. You know, they're glad to move past it. There'll be some lingering signs. There'll be an occasional chant, I would imagine, but nothing like the fever pitch the first time around.
Yeah, and it was
the first visit back.
Fever pitch might be an understatement for how it went when he first returned. I loved the chants, like the "Where's your jammies" and all the stuff they were saying. I mean, that stuff was classic. I mean, it was incredible.
It was hilarious.
I thought it was so entertaining. I think there should be more soccer-esque chanting.
I think that's fun, but it can get more personal.
Yes.
It can get more, you know.
Yeah, of course it can. Like
that.
Anything, but when it's not, when it's "Where's your jammies," I think that's funny.
That was my only concern about all of it, but it's I think the focus becomes, you know, because he really has, now that we've kind of walked through the emotional piece of it, Tavares, and as to, Islanders fans. Now the question kind of becomes, you know, he's struggled. He and his Leafs have kind of struggled in that building, given the strength of that Islanders roster. How does John play there?
Well, the Islanders' record since Lou Lamoriello went to the Islanders and John Tavares went to the Leafs, the Islanders have a better record than the Leafs.
This is the best part
of
that
whole
story.
So this is my whole thing. This is my thing. I love the chance. I love, like, how it was when Tavares returned to Nassau. But I said this last year. What are you upset about, Isles fans? Your team is doing so much better now than it was 2-3 years ago.
Yeah.
Who cares?
To the tune of $10 million less per year, too, not having to pay Tavares the big ticket.
It has died down. But when I was getting tweets, even the end of last year, and people were still complaining, I was like, oh, my gosh, get over it already. Yeah. It's like you broke up. Well, your new girlfriend's way hotter. It's like things are going well.
The Isles fans, I mean, you could have never predicted that, you know, post Tavares leaving and the void that he ultimately leaves, just looking at that roster, comparing the two rosters, that the Isles would ultimately be far stronger just in terms of the Eastern Conference standings. But I'll tell you what, since Trotz arrives and, you know, since the maturation of guys like Lee and Bailey and Barzal continues to dazzle me night after night. The Isles are playing some really remarkable hockey. And I mean, I can't, having worked in a Barry Trotz administration, having been around Barry Trotz for much of my hockey life, it's really no shock to me.
No, he's a great human.
He's a great,
and he cares about other people.
And he's got a great attention to detail. And this doesn't get enough noise. He's got a great staff under him. Mitch Korn, the goalie whisperer, he's got a great resume of guys that he has tinkered and worked with over time, like Thomas Vokoun, like Pekka Rinne. Holtby had some of his best years, Stanley Cup years, while under Mitch Korn, goaltending coach, and Lane Lambert, one of his assistants, too, is a longtime friend and I think a great supporting character for a guy like Barry Trotz.
Let me ask you this, because a lot of times when a player leaves a team by their choice that they've been with a long time, you know, you see the reaction from Islanders fans. And I know that, you know, the hockey community is tight-knit. A lot of guys know each other off the ice. They respect each other, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
But on the ice, is there a grudge held by the team? Like, is there a grudge held by, say, an Anders Lee when he sees Tavares leave the team by choice? You know what I mean? Like, to me, if I'm on a team with a guy for 5, 6, 10 years, however long it might be, and they choose to leave, like when I'm looking forward to the game when we play them again, and I want to beat them. Is that the case for a lot of guys or no?
I don't think so. I really don't think so. I've got probably a great case and example, but my observations, you know, back when I played, and I think they apply today because, you know, I'm around players enough that you get a sense from players how they feel about all this. And ultimately it comes down to this. For players, Jackie, you know, there's playing on the ice, and of course anytime you strap on the skates, you're doing your level best to win 2 points for, you know, your colors. But when it comes to the business of the game, the contractual, the transactional part of it, it's, you know, players respect that your business is yours alone. I'm not going to monkey and disagree with your business. I have to respect your reasons.
Does it motivate you at all, though, you don't think?
I don't think so. My situation was this. When I was playing in Detroit, Keith Primo, for whatever reason, got into a holdout situation, and he demanded a trade from the Detroit Red Wings, ultimately left and went to the Hartford Whalers. That was the whole Shanahan to Detroit and Primo to Hartford. I ultimately followed along that I was waived, and Hartford picked me up on waivers, and I actually joined Keith in Hartford and Carolina later on. But I talked to Keith plenty through that, and we loved the contribution he made to our team. He was one of our top centers while we were in Detroit. But I called him up and I said, buddy, you know, I as much as we want to have you back, as much as we, you know, appreciate what you do here, I respect your position. Your reasons are your reasons, and I respect that, and we remain friends at the end of the day.
I think that's probably the case in most situation.
I think it is.
I gotta think, though, human nature. Like, I think about Matt Duchesne in Colorado, and I think, yes, at the end of the day, water under the bridge, time heals everything. Yeah. But I think there were some frustrated guys in that room when Duchesne wanted out, and everybody knew he wanted out, and they were waiting to make the right deal.
Right.
Like, I think for sure there were guys that were just like, oh, this is like
make
hanging over the team.
No, I think that's a fair point. I think that's a really good example, too. It's when it becomes prolonged, it's when, you know, players are constantly being asked about it.
And let's, Which is not necessarily, for the record, Matt Duchesne's fault. I mean, he's waiting for it to go through,
but use
people
him,
were pissed off about
use
that.
Use him as an example, and I'm not saying that Matt Duchesne himself was a divisive person or he was a divisive issue in that locker room.
No, but it
can
the
come,
situation.
It can become that, you know, hypothetically, it can become that. So from a player's point of view, you know, you're still kind of back in that, we want the best for our team. Yeah, I respect what this guy is doing, but let's make it end. Like, let's create a, let's have a separation here because it's time for us to go on. But, you know, we're prolonging the transaction, you know?
It's an interesting topic just because it really only applies to sports. Like, I can't really think of a real life scenario where someone would hold out and it would affect other people so much.
Yeah.
Right? Like, like if I was like holding out on a contract with NHL Network and like refusing to go on NHL Network myself, the show would just go on. Like EJ wouldn't even
sister,
it wouldn't even bother
you.
Him. It'd just be like, okay, well she'll be back when she's back, you
you're
know?
You're worth every dime. I'm fully behind you.
But for, you know, for a team it's different anyways. Yeah. I don't know. I just think it's a hot button issue and I think it's one that, you know, no one's ever going to come out and say, oh, yeah, I was so angry that so-and-so asked to be traded. But
and I think, too, you know, we've clearly entered an area, and I think the salary cap kind of brings this into, you know, comes into light when we think about this. It's roster decisions have become more business-like over time because it's harder to hang on to even franchise players throughout their entire career. So
it's like a dying breed, right? Like the guy that stays with one team forever.
Harken back to the 70s and 80s, even the 90s. I mean, the Steve Yzermans of this world, you know, Patrice Bergeron is a great example. He's been a Bruin his entire career, but that really is a rarity. It's a notable exception to the rule. Players bounce around, even the great players, even the gifted players bounce around.
I have so much respect for like a Henrik Lundqvist, like who wants to stay with the Rangers, even though they're rebuilding. Like to me, like he's a guy that could be like, I want to go to a contender and people wouldn't be upset.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
I think people would support it. They'd be like, yeah, Hank, you've done enough. But he's like, no, I'll stay there, whatever. Yeah. I can't believe I'm actually saying this about Henrik Lundqvist because back in the day when Cujo left the Leafs, I was like so mad. I was like so like, oh, whatever, like. Whatever, Cujo. I was so upset to see him go, but he wanted to win and went to Detroit, and obviously it didn't happen for him there. But it's crazy, and I think Henrik Lundqvist could make that request, and people would be cool with it.
Could that organization and
it wouldn't
that
be a Tavares situation?
Have
I don't
a
think.
Long history have endeared themselves to one another, and I think both have a lot to be grateful for. And I think too, at the end of the day, I see it's a smooth transition. Henrik Lundqvist leaving the game. To go on and do and fill a really important position, you know, here in an area where he clearly loves it. He's very, you know, he's very much revered. And I think he'd make an important contribution off the ice, whether it's the front office, whether it's behind the bench. I don't know if I see him in a coach's role, but I think this is a guy that, you know, he'll be a Ranger through his post-hockey life as well.
Yeah,
I would imagine.
Sure. All right. Well, we were talking about Leafs and Islanders in action tonight. John Tavares back at Nassau. In attendance for this game will be two-time Super Bowl champion Damian Woody. And he's going to talk to us about it right now.
Big
I'm
Woody.
Super excited to have him on the show. Damian joins us now. Damian, thanks for doing this, man. We really appreciate you taking the time. How's your day going?
Oh, it's going great. I'm pumped for tonight, man. It seems like the whole Islander fan base is behind me, so I'm looking forward to it.
They really are. Let's talk about how this started, because I personally think the tweet that began this entire thing was not only hilarious, it was spot on. You said something to the effect of, New York's got like two teams in every sport, and they all suck. What's going on
They're
here? And of
miserable.
Course, Islanders fans jumped at the chance to be like, hey, man, we're in the middle of like a 9-game winning streak, I think it was, at the point. It ended up being 10, and now here you are going to an Islanders game. Did it blow you away, the reaction that you got from that tweet?
You know what? This whole sequence has been amazing because, you know, it was just it just really spurned from one one tweet that basically said New York sports scene sucks right now.
And then which also, isn't wrong, which is not wrong. Base,
not altogether wrong.
Yeah, I know, right? The New York Islander fan base just, I mean, they just stepped in like, D. Wood, wait a minute now. You need to check out the Islanders. The Islanders are in the middle of something special right now. And so I went back, and then the Islanders chimed in. They were like, hey, we're over here. We're hello, waving our hands. And so I had to issue an apology. And then, you know, the fan base was like, hey, Islanders, why don't you get Damian Woody out to a game so he can truly see what we're talking about? And one thing led to another. And we're going to a game tonight, which is fantastic.
Tell us a little bit about that. What's that supposed to look like? What are you going to be doing while you're at the game, Damian? And what have they kind of braced you for to this point?
Well, listen, first of all, I want to thank the fan base because I had solicited, question about which game should I go to. Literally every tweet was, you have to go to next Wednesday's game against the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah.
So got to thank the fan base for that. But tonight is going to be tremendous. What we did was we did a contest where the New York Islanders provided a suite and some seats right in front of the glass to enjoy the game. 8 fans are going to be joining me in the suite. And it's just going to be a great experience. We're going to do that. And I'm also going to join the broadcast of tonight's game to kind of talk about this whole experience. So it's really been tremendous.
And this is a huge deal for whoever the 8 contest winners are too, right? I mean, to get to go to a game with you, 2-time Super Bowl champion. I mean, that's pretty incredible.
Yeah, you know what? It really, this whole thing has really worked out bigger than I expected. And, for me, I'm a fan. I'm really excited about this whole experience. You know, I don't know too much about hockey, but the thing I love about it moves very fast. I like and violent. I love violence. So I'm looking forward to that.
Sounds, Damian, like you like the fact that these guys slug themselves in the face from time to time, slug one another in the face from time to time. That's kind of your bent on it, your take on it?
Oh, man, first of all, you got to appreciate the skill set that you got to have to play this game, number one. And number two, I'm a Boston College alum, and basically all the guys that I hung out with outside the football team were the hockey players.
Yeah.
So we got a similar mindset.
Kind
of a goon mindset.
A goon mindset.
Hey, I love that.
Well, you wouldn't have cared for the way I played back in the day. Hey, quick one. Tell us, what's your experience with the game? Like, how much NHL hockey have you seen before you step into the building tonight?
It's very, very minimal. I mean, I've watched playoff hockey, which has been amazing. The atmosphere has been pretty much unlike anything that I've ever seen before.
Yeah.
I've heard, people have told me many a time, dude, you got to watch playoff hockey. It's unlike anything that you'll see out here. And this was like a couple years ago. And then I got into that and I'm like, wow, this is tremendous. And so now, building off of that, going into my first game against the Toronto Maple Leafs and John coming back in. I know he left, last year for the Toronto Maple Leafs. So this is kind of like the second go-around. And everyone's talking about how the environment is just electric tonight. So I'm stoked.
Yeah, you're going to a good game for sure. I mean, the Islanders fans did not steer you wrong because, Tavares, when he made his first return to Nassau after joining the Maple Leafs in free agency, they were chanting like, where's your jammies? They were, I mean, it was unbelievable. I'll ask you this question as a former professional athlete yourself. I asked Stu this question earlier in the show. When a superstar player like that leaves a team, on his own accord, by his own choice or requests a trade or these things that happen, what's the impact of something like that on the room? Does it become something that guys talk about? Is it just sort of whatever, that's his business, he's going to do his thing, let it go? Or are you motivated when you face that player again and you're like, oh, we're going to beat you?
Well, listen, I think first and foremost, guys understand it's a business decision.
Yeah.
But at the same time, once you get on the playing surface, whether it's a football field or, the ice rink, all that goes aside. We're not friends anymore.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm looking to inflict punishment on you. And so, that's the beauty about this whole thing. It doesn't matter that I'm a football player or you could be a hockey player. When that whistle goes or when the puck drops, it is on.
Yeah, I love that.
one other kind of episode behind the camera. Way back in the day, Biggest Loser. You were a contestant on Biggest Loser. Tell us about your experience there. That had to be fascinating.
Oh, man, listen, I'm going to tell you right now, that was the hardest thing that I've ever experienced in my life. Absolutely correct. I play, you know, for the people out there that don't know, I played under, legendary coach Bill Belichick, who's with the New England Patriots, and I thought that was tough. But doing that and the things that we had to do during that show were was unlike anything that I've ever done before because, you know, as athletes, a lot of times we train in bursts. Yeah. You know, everything, especially in football, you know, you have a play that's 6 seconds. Okay, we shut it down. Now we start again. When I was doing that, it was everything was long distance. So that's everything that I've been accustomed to throughout my whole athletic career. So it was really hard, but it really paid off.
That says a lot, that answer to that question.
Yeah.
Listen, you're an energetic guy. You seem to have a passion just for sports in general. Are we going to see you live tweeting tonight? I mean, can we look forward to some live tweets from you as you're experiencing this hockey game?
Let me tell you something. For anyone anybody that doesn't know, my Twitter handle, well, all of my handles is at Damian Woody. That's one thing that I do all the time during live events, whether it's football games, basketball, and I'll bet you this, I will be live tweeting tonight at this hockey game. And like I said, I am so pumped for this experience because it's a game against a historic franchise in the Toronto Maple Leafs, and the team is doing fantastic. So you'll definitely be seeing me live tweeting out there.
I'll tell you what, you have so much energy just speaking on this interview right now, and we can't even see you. I want to go to the game with you. So, like, if you ever do another contest, just give me a heads up so I can enter the contest.
Listen, I got you. I can tell you that. And like I told a lot of the fans, I did a video last night to announce the 8 fans that are coming to the game. Yeah. I told people this is not going to be the last time I do this. So
All right.
The next time.
Okay. All right. I'll have to keep my eye out on Twitter and make sure I can apply.
Well, absolutely.
As a former player, Damian, I got to tell you, you're signed up for a good one tonight. You really are. Having been in really all but one of the buildings in the NHL across the entire league, this one's electric. It's kind of a throwback, and it brings out the best in these fans. So be ready for
It's old school. It's old school at the Coliseum.
I would say I almost analogize it or compare it to it's a little bit on a smaller version. It's a little bit like British soccer. It gets rocking over there.
Yeah, you know what? Everybody's been telling me that, like, dude, you're in for a treat because the atmosphere over there is amazing. So, like I said, I'm like a ball of energy right now. I'm pumped and ready to go.
I can tell. You got a few hours to wait before puck drop.
Don't peek too early.
Hey, as a former athlete, you know exactly what that's all about. I'm trying not to.
Yeah. Listen, have an amazing time. We will keep an eye out for your tweets, your videos, all that good stuff. And maybe we'll even see you chanting along with some of the Islanders fans tonight. Have a great time, and thanks for doing this. We appreciate the time.
Oh, thank you, guys. I greatly appreciate it.
Well, clearly, Damian is absolutely pumped for this Islanders game tonight. Just for anyone listening, you can catch him on ESPN covering the NFL 2 times.
Damian's got to learn to show a little excitement from time to time. He plays his cards pretty close to the chest. You'd agree?
Oh, yeah. So muted.
What a guy.
I was not muted yesterday on Twitter. Got a little fired up. Put a video out there because you and I were discussing Connor McDavid's hat trick from the weekend.
You can't get off this.
Here's the thing. So for anyone that didn't see the video, you know, Connor McDavid scored a hat trick on the weekend in Anaheim, and the amount of hats on the ice was insane. I understand that Oilers fans travel well. I also understand it was free hat night at the Honda Center, but that is no excuse. Unless you cheer for the Oilers and Connor McDavid, you should not be throwing a hat on the ice to a player that doesn't play for your team. I don't care if it's Wayne Gretzky. I'm serious. I'm so on this. Like, I would never throw a hat on the ice for a hat trick of an opposing player for the team that I root for.
Is that just a strictly loyalty kind of thing?
Loyalty to my team. If a player is scoring a hat trick against my team, my team's probably losing. Why would I be cheering? No. Save that crap for the All-Star game. That's what I have to say about that.
I don't know. You know, I see lots of fans. I do. And too, I've been, you know, I was there when the Ducks started, so I understand the Southern California hockey fan, and those fans go to the rink, yeah, to support their Ducks, but they also go there to see some of these amazing players, generational players. Like, these are premium games for these folks. Jack, when they go, they love to see a Connor McDavid. So when they arrive at the building and they've seen a guy like McDavid have an important night, I mean, a hat trick, that's a big deal. I guess I don't disrespect their reason for wanting to kind of show their appreciation. I mean, at the end of the day, talent is talent.
Yeah, talent is talent.
An amazing performance is an amazing performance.
If when I'm growing up, right, like you would never see this in another sport, and it's because there's not. I mean, the hat trick tradition is one of the best in sports. But yeah. Like when I'm going to Jays games when I was a kid, I would go when the Yankees are in town because of the Yankees, because it's a big game, because there's a lot of star power, and the Jays weren't doing anything back in the day when I was a kid. But I'm not standing up and cheering for like an A-Rod homer.
On any given night, you know, in any just about any market in the game, you know, you show up, and let's take the Ducks for example. Yeah, there's, you know, in a building that I think holds 17,000 and change. You know, you show up, and 12,000 of them, 13,000 of them are diehard Ducks fans, but there's probably 2,000, 3,000 or more who are fans of the other team.
Right,
that
which
happens
is fair.
From time to time.
I think that's
when
fair.
When Nashville started out, Nashville used to get 5,000 Blackhawks fans come down from Chicago for games, and you can bet if Patrick Kane got a hat trick, there were all kinds of, you know, hats hitting the ice.
Would it happen today in Nashville if Connor McDavid scored a hat trick? You think Nashville, of all places, there's no hats being thrown on
Nashville
the ice by Preds fans.
Nashville is pretty savvy and aggressive in its marketing, and they have waged this under-the-radar campaign to get the red out of the building, if you know what I mean. Keep the red out. So I don't think it would happen today.
Yeah,
I don't think it would.
I don't think so either. Anyways, we're on different sides of that argument, but it is clear that it is an argument.
And it's a strange thing to say. I will say that. It's like, you know, an opposing guy has an amazing night.
I understand a few.
And then
like,
where are all these hats coming from?
I understand if there's a few because you're Connor McDavid and people like you. But like when the entire, like there was so many hats. It was crazy.
And in the backdrop, but this was free hat night too.
Yeah, I mentioned that. But it doesn't matter. Yeah. You still don't throw it out there for someone's time. Anyways. So I asked other people what they're fired up about. I want to rattle through a few of these rapid fire.
Oh, I love to see what the fans have to say. Absolutely.
And we can say, okay, I'm with you, Jackie. For the record, this person's with me, Lainey. But the real debate lies in whether it's okay to wear a jersey of a team that isn't playing
now,
in the game. So let's say it's like
a totally different deal.
It's like Bruins, Habs, and someone shows up in a Leafs jersey. It's like, get that garbage out of here. What are you doing?
It doesn't make any sense at all. It's like you came to the wrong party.
Why do people do that?
You knocked on the wrong door and came to the wrong house. You came to the wrong party.
I just don't understand the thought process. I've seen, and maybe this is a Toronto thing because there's only one baseball team in Canada, but like I've seen people wear hockey jerseys to Jays games, and I'm like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Like, I'm the biggest hockey fan ever, but I'm not rocking my team's jersey at a baseball game.
Like trying to give this person the benefit of the doubt. Okay, in your example, it's Leafs, Bruins, and somebody in a Washington Capitals jersey.
It's weird.
Just shows up. So I get that you're a hockey fan. I get that you're not a fan of Boston or the Leafs, but why do you feel compelled to wear that third, you know, irrelevant jersey to this game here tonight?
Yeah,
like, just wear a t-shirt.
Yeah, or like if you really, really want to like rep your team that's not even in the game, like wear a hat.
Yeah.
You know, something a little more subtle. All right, next up, I'm fired up about the home team wearing dark. Help me with that, Jackie. Home team wears white, no? I'm watching this game and I swear.
In my day, the home team
wears
white.
It was white. When I played as a kid, the home team always wore white.
And you know, it's interesting. It's switched. I think I like it. I do. And I like it for this reason. There really is no, or I should say it this way. I think the home team advantage has kind of eroded over time. And I think somebody did a study years ago, darker makes you look bigger, makes you look more imposing. So if we want to subscribe or bolster that hometown advantage, home team advantage to any degree, putting them in dark, and two, you know, I don't mind that it goes in cycles. Maybe for one decade, home team's in dark. Maybe the next decade, home team's back to white.
I just think there's really no advantage
I don't remember
to the
when
color
that
of
changed.
Your jersey.
I always liked playing in darks better. As a player, I always thought it made us look more imposing. It just made us look More of a force, you know, just a more of a physical,
more
optical,
intimidating,
optical force.
More
it just
intimidating.
Made you look bigger, stronger. Yeah.
All right.
Always like being in the darks.
Here's one not hockey related. Pineapple on pizza. This is a classic topic of discussion amongst humans.
It's also a classic topic for pizza. Topping for pizza.
No, it's not.
It's a topping.
A classic topping for pizza is pepperoni. That's a classic pizza topping. Pineapple.
You couldn't get me near that. You couldn't get me near that.
Near what?
Pepperoni on pizza. I don't care for it.
What?
I don't care for it. No, I don't eat it.
Are you being serious?
I'm not a pepperoni guy.
Oh, wait, are you a vegetarian?
No. Pretty close. Fish, a little bit of chicken.
Okay, so you don't eat red meat. That's different.
I don't eat a lot of red meat.
That's different.
I'm not sworn off of all red meat, just most red meat.
Okay.
And certainly not pepperoni. Not a big fan.
No, I like pepperoni on my pizza, but not pineapple.
My junior Bill.
I don't
like
even put pineapple
family,
in my top five fruits.
My host family in junior, the father was fond of making pizza, sauerkraut. Like, so you got a layer of, you got the red sauce, you got the cheese, sauerkraut, and then pineapple on top of that. You ever had sauerkraut on pizza?
No.
And then I think he had ham on there as well. It was really different. It's actually pretty good. Sauerkraut on pizza, it's actually pretty good.
I mean, most things are good on pizza, just
but
not pineapple.
I grew up loving Hawaiian pizza. I love Hawaiian pizza, so I'm fine with pineapple.
Ugh.
Fine.
Okay, last one
probably
here.
Probably draw the line at oranges, but I like pineapple
Gross.
On my pizza.
All right, last one here. I'm fired up about getting a point for a losing game. It sucks the competition out of far too many third periods. You lose, 0 points. That's from Puck Line Betting. I'm with him or her.
You like it? You like it?
I don't like the loser point. What do you get a point? You lost the game. What do you get a point for? You win, you get points. You lose, you get no points. End of discussion.
Yeah.
He's right.
That,
like
that
the end of the third period,
there.
There's like 4 or 5 minutes left. It's a tie game. Everyone's just playing it safe because, oh, just get to overtime. We'll both get a point. Ugh. Mm-hmm. I don't like it. Sorry, Gary.
Well, and it,
I don't like it.
You know, I do think, you know, it kind of puts more, if you want to call points currency, it puts more currency in the system. There are more points out there to be earned. I think in part it helps keep certain teams more competitive. And I think for that reason we have more parity in the
you
standings
think so?
Overall. I think it does make a difference at the end of the day. I'm just saying that off the top of my head. I don't know that anybody's ever done this study. But it just seems to me, teams, there is more parity in the game today. I think that may be a contributing point.
See, I've never
contributing
done...
Contributing point. See what I did there?
Yeah, I see
how
that.
I played off. See how I played off of the topic?
Yes.
And then brought it around to a point that I was making?
Yeah. And then you look, you did it again.
The changes come quickly. Try to keep up, child.
Oh, I'm keeping up. No, I would say, too, like, to me, when I think about three-point games, right, I think it's harder for teams that have a bad start or fall behind or have like a bad couple weeks to make up ground because every night teams, even if they're not winning, are getting a point.
Yeah.
It makes it harder to catch people in the standings, I think, but that's just me. That's pretty much all I got. Those are the best tweets out there.
There's some good stuff.
In terms of fire,
some good stuff.
Fired
Thanks,
up.
Folks. Thanks, folks. That's good discussion.
I could go off on pumpkin spice lattes. I'll save it for another day. Just don't really like them.
Don't
Actually, I've never
strong,
had one, but
don't have a real strong point of view on either side of that.
Thanks for this. 2 weeks in a row. We'll have you back on sometime soon. But
loved it.
Thanks
loved
for listening.
Every single second of it.
Make sure you send us your comments, your questions, your concerns using the hashtag PuckCulture on Twitter. We like getting you guys involved in the show. So whatever you're fired up about, make sure you shoot it our way, and we'll do our best to try to discuss some of those issues. This has been the Puck Culture Podcast. We are part of a family of podcasts at the NHL. You can also listen to Executive Suite, which is one-on-one interviews with front office staff from around the league. There's the Fantasy on Ice podcast. So if you have a fantasy team like I do, currently in second place, not a big deal. You can listen to Pete Jensen and Rob Reese on the Fantasy on Ice podcast as well. As for myself and Stu Grimson, you can catch us on NHL Network from time to time as well on either NHL Tonight.
Four to six.
Or NHL Now, which is on 4 to 6 Eastern Time, Monday to Friday. Thanks for listening. We'll see you guys next week.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.